Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting.
Good morning, all, and welcome to Happy Hour. Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci. This fella, they call him Frankenberry. Dun, dun, dun. And we are back with a brand new show, and we are going to be talking with, a very popular guest of ours over the years.
Yes. Yes, Deb Hanlon. She's a personal friend of ours. She's been on the show many times. She's a local girl. She is an intuitive medium. She's an author. She hosts galleries in the area. She also holds meditations, retreats. What else does she do? She does virtual meditations online.
Oh, she does landscaping too, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Right. And she's a yoga instructor. And we always love talking with her because she knows us. She plays along with us, with our shenanigans. And today, it's really interesting angle we're taking with her. So she is a firm believer that one of the best assets and skills you can develop in yourself currently and going forward based on the climate, what's happening with, political climate, what's happening with AI, is to develop the skill of empathy. We all have it already. And she's going to talk about why that's something AI cannot replace and why that's important in our lives, for us personally, and in our careers.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. And that is something that we could certainly use a little bit more of just in general these days, I think.
Absolutely. 100%.
That's fantastic. So Deb Hanlon is going to return. We'll talk to her in segment number two. So Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci. Now, it has been, how long has it been? We've been a couple of weeks since we've been on.
Two weeks.
That's not too bad. That's not too bad. I mean, I know summertime. I mean, do expect there may be a couple of weeks of repeats here, but it's nice to be back with you ladies.
It's nice to have you back, Frankenberry. I know you were under the weather for a bit. You're on the mend. We're happy about that. And I find it interesting that the topic of empathy is what we're talking about this week, because I had a horribly embarrassing wardrobe malfunction.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, I knew that was going to be some sort of response from Spielberg. I am not alone in the universe.
And I could use some empathy for the embarrassment I suffered.
Oh, yeah, you got it, sister. I can't wait to empathize.
I am
exactly
your
what I'm going to do. As soon as I get done making fun of you, tell us.
She is your empathetic compatriot. That
I
is the Jonna Spilbor.
This has never happened to either of you. This has never happened to anyone ever.
Oh,
so
nice.
She's so, you can get your pillow. She's on the edge of her seat.
I know, seriously.
So between our break from the last time we recorded and today, and Jonna, I would normally, I text you everything that goes on in my life, but okay. I'm like, I need to save this.
Oh,
So out to dinner with my childhood friend, Lisa, who you know, and her husband, and
where? All right, can you name the place?
I can't. It has nothing to do with it. It was farm to table in Wappingers, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I decide to wear a pair of maybe 2.5-inch heel wedge summer sandals. And the wedge is kind of like a corkish type bottom. So I sashay in, I sit down, we have a wonderful dinner, we catch up, great time. Lisa, she's known for being clumsy, and of course she drops something under the table. And I lean over to look to see what she dropped, and it looks like I have completely crushed a piece of vanilla cake. And I am like, how did I step in cake? Oh, no, I did not step in cake. The soles of my shoes completely disintegrated under my feet as I sat there.
Wow.
Disintegrated. Now,
well, did you leave a trail,
you,
though?
Timu.
Did they disintegrate in your footsteps as you were approaching the table?
No. They got me in there fine. They got me to the table and sat down without a trail. And then proceeded to just...
Did you take a picture?
For God's sakes, do I have pictures?
Of course she did.
And I'm going to send a few now so that the audience, and I'm sorry to the audience that you can't be part of this.
I'll describe it.
I know you will.
What makes it even funnier, John, I think you know this. So my big toe is large. Large enough that growing up, my sister Karen dubbed it Hammerhead.
Oh, nice.
So
yeah,
we have heard that story.
Yeah. Okay. And every Christmas, Craig gets me some kind of shark gift, whether it's a can opener, whether it's a corkscrew, whether it's a bookmark, a shirt, something shark.
Nice. That was the toe you used to stop the Flintstone mobile, right?
So when you look at the pictures and you see the hammerhead, which my other friends call the captain.
Oh my God. Oh, wow. That is a pretty accurate way to describe
the toe or the shoes.
No, the sole of this shoe. Okay.
Nice.
All right.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's fantastic.
I didn't mean to cut you off when you were talking about your big toe.
That's right. My other friends called it the captain. And it looked like the captain crashed. Now, how I didn't realize this the whole time I'm sitting there eating dinner, I don't know.
Oh, my God. You lost the entire?
Okay.
Now, I realize it's not a large heel, but how was the limp on the way out?
Oh, my
Mary, I couldn't walk in those.
So did you get up
from the table barefoot.
Nice. Now, did you explain that in case anybody said, why is there a barefooted woman leaving the restaurant?
Yes, because the three of us started making a scene. The good news from this whole embarrassing thing is I haven't laughed that hard that long in a very long time.
Oh, good for you.
And we were absolutely hysterical, crying, laughing.
All right. I have questions.
Before Jonna asks her questions, because I know she has a lot, did anybody come over to marvel? Like, did children come over and point?
No children came over to point.
And mom,
there's
mom,
more,
look
there's
at this.
A little more to the story. Do you want to hear questions first?
No, please, dude. Okay. Do tell.
Yes.
So I waved the waitress over, who was lovely, adorable. I said, listen, I have an issue. You're going to need to clean up. Here's an extra 20. If I had more, I'd have given it to her. That was all the cash I had. Plus, we were generous with the tip, as always. And we're laughing so hard. And she goes, you know, I looked over and I saw under your chair, she goes, and I thought you crushed some bread. And I'm like, I don't remember bringing them bread. So I tip her. We're laughing. We gather our stuff. Now, Johnny, you've been to farm to table.
Yes.
You dine in the right side of the restaurant and have to wander out to the large bar area to get out the door.
Yes.
So I have to then walk through the bar area barefoot. Oh. And I'm trying to make a really quick exit. Like, let's go to the door. And another adorable little waitress goes, wait. And she's smiling, holding back a laugh.
Oh, no.
Pulls out a chair for me to sit down. It hands me socks. I had to sit down in the bar in front of everybody and put on a pair of socks and walk out.
They made you put on a pair of socks to go 10 feet.
Maybe they didn't want me walking out on the blacktop.
Now, all right. So my first obvious question is.
God, it was awful. What?
And I'm hoping they didn't come from a lost and found, but where did they have socks?
Maybe it belonged to one of the girls. They actually seemed like a clean pair of socks.
Okay, I'm just checking. I'm just making sure.
Would you like a picture of the socks, too? Because I took that.
Okay, yeah. I'm kind of curious about the socks.
This defies physics.
John is a scientist, by the way. Yeah. So keep that in mind.
I am. Okay. So just for our listening audience, because I realize pictures aren't fun for you since this is radio, but I will say that when Carol said it looked like she had stomped on a piece of vanilla cake, that is exactly what it looks like.
It does. Yes.
More like a whole vanilla cake though, right?
Like a whole
layer cake.
Like the bottom of these shoes, which I guess were corky. Just literally, not just like you would think, okay, for this to happen physically, because listen, Linda, I know shoes. For this to happen physically, you would think, all right, the entire bottom of the shoe would separate from the entire top of the shoe and just sort of fall.
Yep.
No. The heels of these shoes, it was like thousands of little tiny shoe termites had taken up residence. Mm-hmm. And the moment you sat down, they just and boom. Now, in your car, let me ask you this. In your car, when you went back to your car, were there any remnants of the soles of these shoes?
No.
Well, you see, that's why I'm at. That was my first question. Did it trail her on the way in?
Because it held up from my car all the way to the table.
So it was just you basically kind of moving your feet under the table. Because, I mean, what this looks like to me.
And they had enough. Apparently, they'd had enough. Like, we're done.
Okay. All right. And
we'll get you in here and we're out.
Okay. All right, for another picture for our audience who cannot see the pictures that we are looking at, imagine an apple crumb pie. This looks like the crumbs on top of the apple crumb pie.
But spread a huge out like, in like a 10-inch diameter.
Yes.
A huge pile.
Well, like, yeah, it's a 10-inch pie. I can go with a 10-inch pie. That's how much crumb is there between Carol's ankles, the ankles of the shoes. Yes.
Okay. All right. And second question. Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Did you get these shoes from Temu?
No, but I have had them a long time.
I was going to say, are they old?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Now, here's the next question. Okay. They're old. But you make it from your interior of your house into your car, from your car to farm to table. And then you get in farm to table. You do not notice. Did you notice that the bottom of your feet with the shoes on were weird?
No, they felt fine. Well, I'll say this. When I picked the shoe up to put it on, I was like, oh, that feels a little sticky. Like the sole, the side of the sole felt a little sticky. I'm like, that's odd.
Felt a little sticky. All right. Then I have a conclusion. I have a conclusion. And it's going to...
Dr. Donna, please tell us.
You're going to have to sue farm to table.
No way.
Because I think what happened was you got out of your car in these very expensive vintage shoes. Okay. You got out of your car in these very expensive vintage shoes, which you love so, so much. You love them so much that you have kept them for like 20 years vintage. That you probably got them from a store where they once belonged to on the feet of somebody famous, like Stevie Nicks. You know, they look very bohemian, these shoes that you love so much. You'll never be able to replace these shoes. No, no, no. And once you got out of your car and walked into farm to table, the cleaning fluid that they use on their floor, and it is a very clean restaurant, I might add, a very clean
listen
restaurant.
Listen to her. She's in court in her head right now.
I know. Seriously, she's good.
Was so, so caustic. Good for the floor, bad for the shoe, that it immediately just infiltrated every little nook and cranny of this vintage cork, and these shoes did not stand a chance, my friend.
They did not stand a chance.
All right.
And you're lucky.
It was like acid.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're lucky that you noticed it before you arose from the table flat on your patard.
No kidding.
That's right.
If she hadn't dropped something, I don't know what I would have done.
That's why they knowingly have extra pairs of clean socks.
Exactly.
Around. Because they're trying now to protect your bare feet. Because, again, someone has discovered the very toxic cleaning solution they use that can apparently eat through a pair
of
sandals of what did you call them? Vintage sandals.
Vintage
that you probably bought, you know, for like $5 20 years ago.
Worth much, much more today. Or I shall say they were. Until that fateful dinner.
That's right. We got it. You got them, Jonna. You go.
Yeah, right. So now I'm texting you one more picture.
Okay. Ooh, you got a little burn on your big toe, on that big, big toe of yours?
On the captain?
On the captain, the chief, yes.
I know I'm going to regret telling you guys this. So, do you know how we talk about, like, your iPhone's always listening?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so now I'm going to text you a picture of an ad that came up in my Facebook feed a day or two later.
Is it for toe fungus removal?
Just sent it. No.
It's new shoes.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be new shoes. Watch.
Yeah, but look.
Oh, look at that.
Ooh, built to last. Phillips
sure.
West.
That's what they said 20 years ago. Okay.
West. You think our phones aren't listening?
They're totally listening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Oh, and that's actually kind of spooky and creepy.
No.
I know.
I mean, you realize just us having this conversation, I am probably going to get an ad somewhere for sandals myself.
Yeah.
Even though I don't wear sandals ever.
Well, I can never go back to farm to table again. That's the sad news.
Oh, of course you can. You kidding? You're like a local celebrity now, girlfriend. They love you there. You put on their clean extra socks for when your shoe got blown up.
Mm-hmm. And plus, you're going to have to go back there when we file the lawsuit, and we are going to demand.
Stop it.
That's right.
This is what we're going to demand from them. We're going to demand one free dinner for four per week. In perpetuity,
For life, of course, yes. Okay.
To accommodate your extreme embarrassment. I mean, not just your extreme embarrassment, I am now extremely embarrassed for you.
That's right.
People connect us all the time. You can't go anywhere without them going, oh, my God, I love your show. I can't go anywhere without them saying, oh, I love your show. You're on with that girl, Curly Pesky and Frankenberry. I got damages now, too.
That's right. Even everybody at the bar had to turn away from you.
Oh, whole bar.
Too shamed to even look at you when they stared down into their drinks, praying for you to no longer be in the establishment.
Oh, my God. So embarrassing for everyone.
We all turn to the camera and go, oh, well, I never,
I do declare.
Now, Frankenberry, I would like to know from you.
Yes.
Because you are familiar with all of Jonna's wardrobe malfunctions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does mine literally figuratively take the cake?
Oh, without it takes the cake you didn't step on. Yes, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Even
admit that.
Even the lawyer concurs. Even the lawyer/scientist/doctor, whatever, she concurs too.
Well, oh, it was horrible.
I can't wait till Farm to Table decides to settle this case with us.
That's right.
For our demand.
We're going to settle it out of court.
Wait, so let me ask you something, Jonna. Mm-hmm. Would you go to Farm to Table with me now?
Oh,
that four didn't include me, Frankenberry. I just figured it out. Put two and two together.
No.
Dinner for four, but I'm not part of the four.
Here's the problem. Until I get over my embarrassment, I still have to get over my embarrassment for you.
Yes. You have a lot to unpack here. There's a lot to tell your therapist. It could take some time.
And also, we don't go there until they sign our settlement agreement. And when I say dinner for four, yes, it will include all of us once a week in perpetuity for the rest of our life. I don't want any skimpy it's like full menu items, whatever they got. It's not like the lawsuit section of their menu. Oh, no.
The lawsuit section.
I got to go back with more cash next time and give this girl more money.
We are soon on new table.
That is classic stuff there, Pesky. I love it.
Oh, God.
Thank you for that. You know what? It's been a long time since I've been there. I've been dying to go back. Now I get to go back for free once a week in perpetuity. I'm so happy.
There we go. And you know what? And Jonna now, she doesn't have to recall in shock and horror as much anymore the time she showed up to court wearing her dress backwards. So,
yep.
You know.
And wasn't it also inside out or just backwards?
It was. Well, that time it was just backwards. Oh. But that pales, you guys, that's nothing compared to the time when my skirt was up my butt. Like that.
Yeah, that was a cling issue in court. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You got to be careful of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So thank you. This was good. I am so glad this happened to you. I mean, I'm so sorry. I mean, of course.
Right. You have empathy for me?
I have so much empathy for you.
Well, when we come back, we will be talking with our friend Deb Hanlon. She is an intuitive medium. She teaches yoga. She does retreats. She does online guided meditation. She's all around cool person, friend of ours. And she is going to talk to us about why it matters to develop we all have the ability, but our skill of empathy.
All right, that is on the way. You've got Jonna Spilbore, you have Shoeless K. Pesci, and you've got myself, Frankenberry, and we shall return. And in an old baseball lexicon, like a shoeless Joe Jackson, say it ain't so, K.
Shoeless.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Alrighty, we are back with Happy Hour. You've got Jonna Spillboard, you have Carol Pesci, you have this fella, they call me Frankenberry, that's my name, don't wear it out. And we have one of our regulars.
So we are excited to have a very good friend of ours and a good friend of the show back again. I think she officially might have the jacket because she's been here so many times. She's actually a local girl. She's our good friend, Deborah Hanlon. She, among other things, being a brilliant and fun person, she is an intuitive medium. She holds meditation classes on all sorts of personal development, including now a yoga teacher, which is super cool. And we brought her on today to talk to us about empathy. Why is that more important now than ever? How does that tie into our intuition in the age of AI and society becoming more robotic than ever? The need for having empathy towards others has never been greater. So we're excited to talk to Deb about this. So Deb, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, girls, for having me on. It's so wonderful to hear your voices.
No, can I just jump in before we start, Deb? It is wonderful to hear your voice. I have one complaint to lodge before.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Just one complaint to lodge before. Okay. So when you are friends with somebody who talks to dead people, as we are, and the best, like Deb is the freaking
amazing. She brought my father through one time. No doubt about it.
Absolutely. So when she out of the blue sends you a text and says, hey, you're on my mind.
You're like, oh no.
Panic sets in. I'm like, okay, let me go make an appointment with my cardiologist. What is going on? Like, why are you, don't reach out to me for no reason, Deb. But then she says, this is what she'll do. She'll like, hey, you're on my mind. It's all good. Okay. Thank you for doing that. That must happen to everybody you text when you text.
No. Well, here's my rule. My rule with that is, you know, I call any intuition, I call them big, long thoughts. I shorten that to BLTs, not a bacon, lettuce, tomato, but a big And my BLTs will come in and they're happening to all of us. This is why I name it that, because we're not aware that like we're all intuitive. So I'll have these big, long thoughts and I'll be like, huh, that's weird. Jonna popped in my head, but I let it go because sometimes maybe I heard your voice. Maybe I saw something unconsciously on social media. I don't know. And then, you know, it'll pop up again, some sort of context around Jonna or whoever it is that I'm thinking about. And three times is my rule where I'm like, all right, little things pop up. So I say hello.
Deb, Jonna is going to attest how many times I've done the exact same thing to her. And I have the three time rule. I'm like, poo-poo once, poo-poo twice. Okay. And I'll stop what I'm doing. And I'll say, I can't explain this, but I feel compelled to tell you this. Yep. How many times?
That has happened numerous times over the last 14 or 15 years. The difference
BLTs.
Is you don't actually talk to dead people for a living. So
I don't scare you.
You do it.
So it's not scary.
Because you are very intuitive and you are very empathetic. As well.
So talk to us about that, Deb. What's going on in society and why we should care about being more empathetic and how do we do it?
Yeah, I'm really, really diving into this topic a lot for a number of reasons. So empathy is another framework of intuition, right? So we can, when we have feelings in an intuitive sense, those are kind of like a knowing, a not necessarily an actual sensation or emotion, but it's just sort of a knowing. But that what comes along with that is this sense of feeling on a deeper level, which is now edging up against empathy. So intuition, what I do for work, it's all the same ball presented differently. And the more I lean into this, you know, I'm infamous for absolutely going crazy on when I see social medias where people will say, you know, I'm an empath and I absorb all the emotions of everybody. And that's why I can't get my life straight and pulled together. And I really balk at that because that means you are an unpowered empath. It means that you are picking up on energy. You are creating them as your own, which all energy is our own. And we're using it as an excuse to not move forward. And I've gotten a lot of fun commentary on my social media. But as we know, all commentary is good commentary. So what my goal is to present empathy as the skill that it is. And then, of course, as we're moving into these AI generations and we're feeling that society is becoming more robotic, our lack of actual human and physical connection is lower than it's ever been before. Empathy is the hottest commodity a human can have, can train to develop more than anything else right now. It's empathy that we're lacking, and we cannot train, as much as I know, like the experts out there are saying they are training empathy into AI and robots. We are biological creatures, and so far, because of that, we need biological empathy. It's all in the eyes. We connect through our brain, actually connects with each other through our visual cortex and our feeling sense. So if someone's blind, they still have a visual cortex, just differently. And we feel each other. Our brain reads facial expressions faster than it could ever read a text. And how do we communicate right now? We communicate through words. We communicate through text. Through comments on social media. That's how we're communicating. We're not picking up on empathy, emotion, context. We're not feeling the feeling behind the way someone said something. So empathy is the commodity that if you can have the emotional intelligence, the intuition, the empathy, you will have a massive leg up on everybody around you in any field.
I have so many questions. Okay.
Here we go.
When you talk about empathy, I think I get that there's that there's a different kind of connection that you get when you can look in somebody's eyes, or maybe even when you're, which can happen, the sidebar. You can see somebody's soul in their eyes and see expression, et cetera. Even like if we had our cameras rolling right now, right? Because we're not AI creatures. I would be able to detect that. You can still develop empathy that way if you're one dimensional. So that's my first question. Can you utilize empathy and develop empathy if you're seeing somebody on a screen, but a real person, as opposed to being in the same room with a real person?
No.
What?
Yes. Now, could we get some context in a visual sense? Perhaps. But the way our brains are wired, we are wired for that physical, biological understanding. And there is research, and I'm not sure who is behind it, that shows that connecting on a Zoom screen, because it's one-dimensional, it tricks our brain into not fully believing that other person is quote unquote real, because we do need the depth and the 3D experience. So we absolutely need that face-to-face connection and communication to really experience it. Now, someone who's trained in empathy, we don't need necessarily the face per se, because we're picking up on the energy, the emotion. That's where the intuition comes in. But not everybody's going to be interested in empathy on that level. But empathy is, it's not like feeling sorry for someone. Empathy is being able to understand someone else's emotional experience.
Mm-hmm. And care what that emotional experience is, right?
And care enough to listen. And so we all notice no one is listening.
Oh, I hate that.
Anyone, ever, anywhere. I mean, we can say on television, on social media, you know, how many times are you in a cafe and you're not listening to the person sitting across from you? Your order is, what did you say? Nobody is listening, especially to hear, especially for the other point of view. We're listening, and this is largely because we are being untrained to respond and react in our own self versus having the mirror neurons that are available to our brain neurological system to mirror somebody else's experience, integrate that into our own, and be able to be connected on that level. But, you know, when we're commenting on someone's social media post in written text, we cannot tell context. So we automatically disagree because we're like, we don't get the context. We don't feel the feeling behind the words. We are probably all more agreeing on so much more than we're even being led to believe, because we're all reading each other's opinions and we're not getting context. But how many people do you totally disagree with on any topic? We can name any topic you disagree, but if you're sitting with them and you're face to face, you're more apt, not always, but you're more apt to actually sit, close your mouth and listen versus in a texting situation.
Oh, I thought you were going to say punch them in the throat.
Okay. You can feel that, but here's the other thing. You're not going to, you know, so
no, just
but we hear about keyboard warriors. That's right. Basically a punching in the throat,
yes,
but a safe one because they're not going to get punched back. So, you know, the keyboard warrior scenario, and then we're all just like talking at each other and not really feeling. I have deep empathy for someone's story, even if it's in complete contrast to what I think and believe. When I hear their story, I'm like, huh, wow, I didn't think of it that way. I didn't know that. You know, so this idea of empathy is the hot commodity. It's, well, it's not an idea, it's a reality, is that, you know, leaders in every forum need to have this skill. You know, this is for leadership. This is for cohesion. This is for just emotional intelligence.
Deb, I have a question.
Yeah.
So you said a little bit ago that you've said it multiple times, empathy is a hot commodity. AI will never be able to experience that like a human can, and that you will have an absolute leg up if you develop the skill of empathy. I want to know, for the average person, so whether you're a leader or not listening right now, how will that enhance my life if I develop the skill of empathy? Part one. Part two, then how do I develop that?
Part one, plain and simple and the fastest, is inner peace. You're going to experience a lot more inner peace because nothing is taken as a defensive, because we're sitting to be present with someone to prove them wrong or prove ourselves right. So right off the bat, an inner centering and an inner sense of self in relation to someone else's experience.
Wow, great answer.
And what was your part two of that?
Then how do you then develop that skill? We all have it, but how do you then develop that?
Yeah, so this is my favorite part. It's a training, unfortunately. There is a training of being super self-aware to realize, oh, when I'm listening to someone and, you know, I'm getting hot under the collar because I'm disagreeing with them and this isn't, you know, no. I have to have enough self-awareness to realize I'm not listening to a word this person's saying. I'm just thinking about what I want to say in rebuttal. And so the empathy skill is a stillness, a self-awareness practice. It's a pausing, a moment of taking a breath and hearing, integrating, listening, showing up for that person to show them that they've been heard and understood. Asking questions is a huge, huge, easy way to gain empathy. Who's asking questions anymore? Everybody's just talking at each other. Nobody says, why do you feel that way? Why do you think that way? No one's saying that. Everyone's like, what are you, crazy? How could you feel that way? How could you say that? And let's ask why. Where is this coming from? Those are much more.
Or you shouldn't feel that way.
Oh, or you're completely out of your mind, or you're wrong. Or,
I mean, calm down.
Right? Don't tell me to calm down.
Calm down.
I'll calm down as soon as I throw something through a window.
You know who taught me to ask questions like that? We have another friend of the show and a good friend of ours, and I think we're going to have her on again in the not too distant future. Heather Hansen taught me the benefit of asking questions as opposed to just providing advice, so to speak. And I think one of the things I found by doing that, and I do that, is you actually help the person who is the one who wants to do the communicating figure things out for themselves by you asking the question. So you both benefit from that.
Absolutely. And that's also helping those mirror neurons. We're mirroring. We're no longer mirroring in real life. We're talking at each other. If we're lucky. I mean, how many times have you seen, my husband and I, we have this sort of hobby almost of if we're out to eat or out in public, we love to look around at other tables and to see how many people are sitting in a restaurant on their phone.
Yes.
And our minds are blown, totally blown. And trust me, I am as addicted to my phone as anyone else. I am not saying that to me. I am on this phone is like, as soon as they create a thing that like it literally embeds into my hand, I'll be golden. However, you know, it's still really getting in the way. We are connecting. We have more access to each other than ever before. Any human on the planet, we have access to them, and our loneliness factor is the highest it's ever been. What is that about? So going back to the screen thought is we are connected electronically more than any point in history. And we're sadder, more depressed, more lonely, more feeling completely like not connected. That's because we are still biological humans and we operate biologically. As much as we'd love not to, we still are.
You know, you just want sense of why the world went crazy. COVID really screwed us up in that sense. When there was that very long period of time where nobody was leaving their house and everyone was communicating virtually, that probably did some long-term damage to society because of that.
I think so on one hand, and on the other, I think it helped because it was coming before them. And now what COVID did and kind of putting us all in our corners, what it did do energetically is we recognized, who do we like to spend our time with and our energy on, and who do we not? And it made a beautiful line in the sand of reserving our own energy, and we became a little bit more authentic with who we spend our time with. Our language around that has been much harsher. I can't tell you how many people I've heard people, and I've uttered it myself, and I really don't feel this way, but like when I hear so many people saying, I hate people.
Oh, who says that? I don't know who says that. No, I don't say that. Do you say that?
So it's where, you know, our languaging around the reality of like, oh my gosh, you know, we know who our people, you know, our closest, I call them the reals. I know who the reals are in my life. And I know who are not the reals. I don't treat the not reals differently, but I myself differently with my people, if that makes sense.
Wow.
So I think COVID did a great service of that. I think our collective languaging needs to be a lot kinder, gentler. We don't hate people. People are fundamentally good at their core. We are fundamentally good at our core. Most people, not all by any means, it's the whole bell curve thing. Most people want to feel good, do good, be good. Mm-hmm. Most people want to be seen, felt, and understood. The people that are getting most of the attention are the outliers. And so we're all starting to believe that the outliers are more the reality. And I think this is the biggest tragedy of humankind right now, that we are really, really thinking because of our screens that humanity is bad. And humanity is not, the vast majority of humanity is absolutely not bad. And if it were, we would have all killed each other off by now, for sure.
I agree with you. Deb, you said one of the big benefits of developing your skill of empathy is inner peace. I would also say that you will have better, stronger, more peaceful personal relationships. And I'm going to give you an example. My husband, Craig, and I, great relationship, been together a long time. When I am upset about something, which I'm not like a big drama queen anyway, but if something's bugging me or I'm upset, his knee-jerk reaction is advice to fix it.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yep.
And I know because he wants to help. And honestly, all I want in that moment is for some to feel heard and to feel that how I'm feeling is okay. And I think if we can learn to do that with each other, the closest people in our lives, don't you think we all have better, stronger relationships?
100%, and I'm going to say a statement that'll get me canceled because I'm going to stereotype in the fact that that's a very male thing, male energy, and I'm not saying all males, but it's a very male response to want to fix, and it's a very female response to just want to be heard. Oh. And so empathy in both states, because empathy is not like I feel sad for you and I'm going to be in the gutter for you and you poor thing. That's not empathy. Empathy is, wow, I'm really listening, and oof, before advice, before the next step, I'm sitting here with you with that. I'm yes. in it. So that inclination is, I have this with my husband all the time and my sons. I raised three sons where it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't want like the fix. Like I'm perfectly capable of the fix.
Exactly.
I just need to vent. Like I just need right. to share it. We're biologically wired a bit different that way. And of course that's not 100% across the board, but there is some biological differences there.
You know what we need? We need like a button or a paddle, right? And then when we approach somebody and say, hey, listen, I want to vent about something. I need to get something off my chest. You just either press the button that says, I don't need you to give me advice, or you have the paddle that says, don't talk, right? And then the person listening will be like, okay, and just nod and listen and question and not give advice. So they know without first pissing you off. Because whenever you're trying to vent and somebody, my mother does it, I've done it. When you jump in and like, well, here's how you fix it, bup, bup, bup.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you actually change the conversation because the person who is trying to vent and get it off their chest is now pissed off at you because you thwarted it. You like got in the way, excuse me, of the vent. And so we need a way to communicate that before it happened. A paddle and or a
well, and you invalidate how they're feeling by doing that.
Yes. Which means there was a lack of empathy in the moment.
Right, right.
And what would be better than a paddle or a button? Because that might be a great marketing venture of creating, I've got the button. But that's a perfect time to ask the question. Did you want my advice or do you want me to feel this with you?
Then well, what do you need or what do you need from me? What do you need from me?
What do you need from me? What do you want from me? You know, so maybe not what do you want from me? That might be a little aggressive. That's a segue of like empathy is the asking questions is one doorway into empathy. Also, saying nothing is deep empathy. Just listening. I'm writing a new book about grief, and the entire book is based on this quote from Alice in Wonderland. And this quote is hanging in two places in my home because it is so powerful to me. And it says, when you cannot look on the bright side, I will sit with you in the dark.
Aww.
That empathy. Empathy is, I don't always have the answers. I don't know what to tell you. I don't have the advice, but I am feeling so deeply with you in this moment. And I'm present with you in this moment, just as you are. That's empathy. And that skill is going to be needed in every single industry, healthcare, teachers, leadership. I mean, all of it. Empathy, empathy, empathy is the skill that is, we cannot teach AI to replace that. Not
that gave
yet.
Me chills. That gave me chills. Mm. And probably never. I hate AI. When I say I hate AI, I hate AI people. I can always tell that they're AI. There's this flat, dead, corpse-like look in their faces. Their mannerisms are all the same. Like, I can't connect to that. If I paid money and somebody was going to give me advice and they're one of those AI people trying to act like they're real people, I want my money back. And I don't know if that's ever going to change. I don't like it.
Well, that also speaks to, because empathy leads to trust. Mm. So, you know, the trust, and my gosh, who are the best people who are going to really want to learn empathy? Marketers. So this is an industry need. Like we can take it into every industry. You need to build brand trust, and only empathy will do that. AI script is not going to build that actual trust feeling.
No.
Communication, you know, is needed. So when I say this is the hottest commodity that people are going to need, this is the skill set that will be in 10 years time. Absolutely. That'll be the difference between who gets hired for the job or not, who has emotional intelligence, who has empathy.
Can you include a chapter on grieving the loss of a pet in your new grief book?
Oh my gosh, I think of you all the time, Jonna. Yes.
Thank you.
Grief is so intense.
Mama Nance is not doing well. So hurry up and finish the book. And then, she's not doing, I'm not doing great either, but I think I'm doing a little bit better than Mama Nance. She woke up this morning. This is just a total segue. And I know we have to leave you soon. She woke up this morning. She sent me a text. She's like, you know, I woke up this morning thinking of Reese and how he used to enjoy some of the finest gourmet cheese with me on the couch. And then but normally she'd be crying over that. And she texted and she said, it's such a wonderful memory. So I said to myself, this is improvement. This is improvement.
Yeah. Yeah, part of the process. We're wrapping up here with Deborah Hanlon. She's an intuitive medium. She's the author of one book, In the Presence of Proof, another one coming. She holds live galleries. She does virtual guided meditations. Deb, if people wanted to connect with you, follow you on social media, learn more about you, buy your book, come to your galleries, participate in your meditations, what's the best way to do that? You got a lot going on.
So much going on, yes. Always my website, DeborahHanlon.com.
Okay.
And all over Instagram and social media and all of those places as well.
Very good.
Deb, great to talk with you today.
Thank you so much for all you do. And thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. And it's great to hear your voices, like I said.
Okay, there we go. Thank you very much to Deb Hanlon. For Jonna Spielborg, Carol Pesci. We are not done quite yet. Segment number 3 is on the way. So please stick around for that.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here. Jonna Spielborg, Shoeless K. Pesci, and myself. They call me Frankenberry. And hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Hello, Frankenberry.
I didn't deserve that. Whatever.
Yeah, you did.
No, I did not.
You did.
Thank you. No, that's you're just... That's your mind is just making stuff up again, Jonna, because you're a lawyer. It's what you do. I'm just making lawyer jokes there, Sharky.
Like fake lawsuits.
That's right. I'm going to call you Sharky from now on.
Not fake.
Her? Okay. Oh, not me. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Right, the toe.
That's right. That's right, hammer toe. That's right.
Hammerhead.
Oh, hammerhead. Sorry.
Get it right.
Why would they call it hammerhead as opposed to hammer toe?
Because you think about what a hammerhead shark, its head is like huge and wide.
Okay, I could see that. I could see that, yes. So
you guys are screwing up the lawsuit. We don't want them to defend themselves saying the weight of the toe is what caused the shoe to...
I thought we were done. Aren't we going to say how great Deb was?
Oh, yes. Oh, that's right. You guys, you just you talked to somebody, didn't you, just now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's
good friend Deb. But it makes sense. Oh, all right, all kidding aside, what she has to say makes sense of why that is a valuable skill and why it matters. Why it benefits us, it benefits our relationships, it benefits our professional life all the way around.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
It does. You know, the one thing, and maybe when we have her on again, we can talk about this. I will say the one caution when it comes to empathy is you gotta be careful not to take on the feelings of too many other people all the time, because then it can kind of weigh you down. You gotta have a really nice balance.
She kind of talked about that a little bit, right? Like I'll be here with you. Like, I'm not taking that on, but I can empathize without completely. But for some people who are empaths, it's a little challenging.
It's a little challenging for me.
Yeah.
She's always wonderful and refreshing to talk to. Love her. I did mention this, you know, it is when you have a friend who talks to dead people and they contact you.
That was fun. No, what do you want? Don't contact me. Okay.
Well, I guess on that note, we are literally running out of time.
I guess, yes, we are. And I don't know. I mean, where do we leave it? We say good luck, Carol, in your shoe search. Apparently, your phone has already directed you towards a new pair. To Deb Hanlon, thank you so much for joining us again here.
And to Farm to Table, I'll just drop off the lawsuit myself. Just have a pen ready. Just have a pen ready.
Okay. Okay, Carol, this is where you need to come up with some sort. You and I need to come up with a safe word to make Jonna stop.
To make her stop, yes. Because all joking aside, if you don't realize we're kidding here, it's a fantastic restaurant. Service is great and food is fantastic.
Hold on a second. I think anybody with two brain cells will know that if the damages that I want to procure for us is a free meal for four every week for life, therein lies the rub, right? Because I wouldn't be wanting that as our damages, I put in air quotes, if they weren't a fantastic restaurant.
All right, Carol, our safe word is shark. Okay.
Frankenberry.
Yeah.
I thought you were on my side. I am so.
No, I just said that. Our safe word. That's where we say shark, and that helps you and I escape, and we think of better places, and we think of happier places while Jonna drones on about this lawsuit.
Are you thinking lawyer shark, or are you thinking hammerhead shark?
Thinking lawyer shark. I'm not.
Okay,
I told you.
Fine.
I thought that was a dumb nickname anyway. I would have gone with hammerhead toe.
I'm just thinking about what my first free meal is going to be.
Again, shark, shark. All right. Well, once again, for Jonna Spillboard, for Carol Pesci, and for myself, I am the Frankenberry. We'll be back. More Happy Hour is in the future. We'll talk to you then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillboer and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.